Good morning, everyone. I call this hearing of the Economic Development to order. Quorum is present. Rep. Richardson, would you have you had a chance to look at the minutes?
Yes, Madam Chair, and I'd like to move approval of the minutes.
Any discussion on the minutes?
Madam Chair, there's just a technical correction on the spelling of my name. I don't know about anybody else's, but not a huge deal, but just going forward, there is no H in my first name or last name.
All right, duly noted. I will fix that for the record. All in favor of moving the minutes, please say aye.
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 All opposed? The minutes have been adopted. All right. First, we have a presentation from Explore Minnesota. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Lauren Bennett McGinty. I am the Executive Director of Explore Minnesota Tourism. Thank you, everyone, for having us here today to talk about our agency. Let's kick off with who we are and what we do. For those of you who don't know, I was appointed by the governor in November of 2021 to lead the agency. And since then, we've gone through a lot of changes, both due to external pressures as well as internal, operational, and strategic changes. So as you can see on this slide, we have our new mission, vision, and position, of which I will point out that our vision is very boastful and big, and it's to be a top 10 destination for extraordinary travel in all four seasons. So we're really hoping to own that as we enter into some new strategic planning. I always like to say that we are the cheerleaders for the state of Minnesota. And as you'll see in my slides, we are definitely working towards being that big voice. Explore Minnesota has 42 employees currently. We operate four distinct units within our office: marketing, housing, brand strategy, research and partnerships, communications, housing, PR, web, and social media, and then industry relations, operating our welcome centers, destination development, and relations for Northwest, Northeast, Central, Metro, and Southern Minnesota. This team also administers our grant programs. Finally, our hardy operations team keeps us organized, keeps the wheels on the bus, and makes sure we're doing everything right. And we also have been able to fill some vacancies since the start of the pandemic, but we're still down about 10 employees since 2019. I've included a lot of information in your packets today, but I wanted to briefly touch on historical budget information for Explore Minnesota. We have not had a base budget increase outside of supplemental adjustment for payroll and operating expenses since FY14, and we're currently ranked 27th among 40 states reporting budgets to the U.S. Travel Association.
Sorry to interrupt. We just found out that we don't have the packet. So
okay.
Somebody's gonna. You can continue. Someone is gonna run. Travis is gonna run and bring it. But you can continue with the presentation.
Perfect. Well, reading for later. on this screen, you'll see our funding increases in orange are primarily grant funding, and that is pass-through grant money. So that does not hit our bottom line and is not operating. And here's how we allocate our budget at Explore Minnesota. As you can see, primarily spending most of it in marketing communications. That's really where we get the word out about Minnesota, where we talk about how great we are in commercials, public relations, and the like. Marketing grants and co-ops make about 12% of our budget, and that's where we really support our industry partners. And then our next biggest pie slice there is technology and operations, which is 11%, but I want to clarify that that's primarily our website budget, which is the biggest product we have at Explore Minnesota. As you can see, in 2019, we were at $16.6 billion in gross sales, and estimated for 2022 is $14.7 billion. So there's a huge loss there, and we're seeing kind of time over time since January 2020 and between June 2022 is that $14.1 billion in losses, and that's from the U.S. Travel Association as they were keeping track of pandemic losses. So what we do for Minnesota. Ultimately, our efforts support small businesses, bring new money into the state, and increase revenue from sales tax. Without Explore Minnesota, each household in Minnesota would pay an additional $625 a year in taxes. We generate all of this by promoting, doing marketing efforts, campaigns, PR, and I will go into that right now. So our marketing program obviously highlights those important accolades and national treasures that we have. We focus about 70% of our budget on out-of-state marketing. So if you're not seeing our commercials inside the state all the time, that's a good thing, I like to say. Spending most of it outside the state so we can bring new money in. And as you can see, we'll get more into marketing if people have questions, but in your packets that it looks like you all are getting right now, I've included our strategic marketing plan, which is a very lengthy document, but it kind of outlines all of our marketing efforts for you. As you can see here, we make $18 in return on every dollar spent, and that's huge. That's $10 for our general campaign and $31 for our niche campaigns, which include specialty marketing on things like paddling, festivals and events, hiking, outdoor recreation in general. In the winter, we're doing arts and culture and winter recreation. So lots of really focused content there, which is why that's a higher ROI. And we do it in multiple mediums. So TV, online, video, print, we're kind of always flexing to make sure that we're keeping up with all of the latest ways to market. Here's a geographical representation of where we typically market. In the summertime, it's kind of our biggest launch. So spring, summer, we'll start this actually sooner than we ever have before in February for out-of-state marketing. And as you can see, we have a pretty wide spread. As we go into fall and winter, those things change. We adjust our marketing based on what types of activities we're marketing and where we think we'll get the biggest bang for our buck. And this upcoming year, I'm really excited to announce that we're going to be testing out some new markets in Dallas and Atlanta. We've done a ton of research on those specific markets, direct flight markets to Minneapolis, and their interest in Minnesota. And we also know that they have a really diverse population. So we're hoping to increase the amount of diverse travelers that visit Minnesota. We also do marketing internationally, but these programs were paused significantly during the pandemic due to a lack of flights coming into the states. So we're just ramping this back up right now. You'll see a lot of European countries that we are reestablishing our presence in, but also looking into South Korea, Japan, and Canada more as we go. So as those flight markets continue to open up, we are continuing to market to them and reach out for touring and other visitation there. International arrivals, while they are not where they used to be, we will see some continued growth this year and expect full recovery to pre-pandemic levels in 2025. We also do a lot of PR work to elevate Minnesota because marketing alone is great, but being able to tell the stories of the people who live here and all of the great places that we have is especially valuable. So our PR agency and website agency work together to create new content for our website as well as get stories in national media. And we share travel information with visitors all the time through our welcome centers. As we look to some recent accolades we have that we're especially proud of on screen here, one that's my favorite is that Minneapolis was named one of the best places to visit in 2023, and that's actually a direct result of the work that we did to get that in that list, which is really exciting. And it was one of only two U.S. locations named on that list for CNN Travel. And as you can see, we made more than 40 top lists in various news outlets and magazines in 2022, with 33 of those being top 10 placements. This acts as a great segue for what we do for the industry. In addition to kind of pitching stories on the really unique gems that Minnesota has to offer, we also have a lot of opportunities for the agents or the industry to get involved in our work. Marketing, communications, and PR serve to help them out, in addition to education, grants, co-ops, and many individuals in this room who you'll probably hear from later have worked closely with us to support tourism statewide and have benefited from the many services we provide. So whether it's our grant programs or educational resources, appearances in our commercials, or on our website, towns across the state support the innovative marketing and other programs we put forward to lift up Minnesota. And I know the topic today is this grant bill that Representative Hansen has put forward. So I just wanted to give a quick overview of the few grants that we've done over the last couple years, but we can definitely get into them later. But as you can see, we've been able to give out grants to lots and lots of communities across the state. And our 2023 grant program, which is only $500,000 this year, was reestablished to kind of better align the goals of that program with our new strategic plan. So really focusing on marketing as the lowest tier, but then the highest tier is an emphasis on marketing or development around diversity, accessibility, inclusivity, and equity. And so that program was really designed to ensure that we are aligning our strategic goals with the goals of the grant program to get the biggest benefit for everybody involved. Briefly, I also wanted to provide an industry situational analysis for all of you. I'm sure you've all heard from your constituents that labor is still an issue. Inflation also doesn't help, and so we're still seeing some struggling areas after COVID, employment's down, gross sales and sales tax. Some areas of the state have certainly recovered better than others, and we want to recognize that, but we also know that various pockets of Minnesota have not quite recovered just yet. So you'll hopefully hear from more people today about kind of where they're at in their recovery process, but I just wanted to emphasize that we're not quite back yet. And even if we were back, our emphasis is going to be on growth rather than just recovery, because we recognize that Minnesota has places to grow into. A lot of places around the state have actually grown and recovered past where they were in 2019, so we'd love to see that for the rest of the state as well. And we are really changing up our strategy to better market, you know, what types of travel has changed and what type of traveler we want to see come to the state. That leads me into our new strategic plan that I've been referencing this whole time. As you can see, we have a lot of really excellent new strategic goals. We kind of started from scratch. We had a strategic direction previously that was built prior to the pandemic, and it didn't really fit what we needed anymore. So I'm happy to share these new goals. And on the next screen, which you can read in your leisure time, are all of our various imperatives under each of these major goals. And I just wanted to give you a glimpse of kind of all the different projects that we're working on, lots of them brand new to us, but really an emphasis on that growth that I've referenced previously. So what does it all mean? We believe that tourism is a statewide support for economic growth. We work really hard to unite a lot of industries, and we know we can help develop workforce in the leisure and hospitality industry. Some people that you might hear from today as well might talk about the sort of economic development and tourism crossover that we're seeing. So really we're dipping our fingers into leisure and hospitality job conversations as well. And then talking about tax revenue through overnight stays, growth there, local spending, supporting sustainable outdoor recreation, growing private sector partnerships, and emphasizing that Minnesota is and should be seen as a place where travelers feel welcome and included. So as we head into 2024, regardless of any budget changes that happen, these are key areas that we want to improve at Explore Minnesota, and really emphasizing and reassessing the work that we're doing to ensure that these are top-notch programs for us, and determining more evergreen options so that we're not having to reinvent the wheel every year. Some new ideas that we came up with for FY24 are programs that are focused on kind of diversifying the work that we're doing to address the needs of the industry more. We've heard from a lot of stakeholders that tourism is no longer about bringing people to the local ice cream shop. It's actually about workforce development, innovation, and creating a one-stop experience for everything from unique dining to outdoor recreation. So as you can see on here, we are talking a lot about tourism and hospitality workforce development, new grants to secure group business, DEI&A, and support for large scale events and mega sporting events, tribal nation destination development grant program funding in collaboration with tribal nations across the state, and then harnessing the brand power and expertise of Explore Minnesota to market Minnesota as not only an amazing place to visit, but to live and work. So I can talk a little bit more about those if people have questions as well. So as we enter into kind of this new season of Explore Minnesota and renew our strategy and commitment to the industry and the state of Minnesota, we want to make sure we're creating a better perception of Minnesota. So we're not just lakes and snow. We are so much more than that. Our new leadership, that's me, is prioritizing growth and new opportunities, and we're seeking support and increased collaboration from other state agencies. I'm sure you will hear from my colleague, Commissioner Steve Grove at DEED, about how we're working together on some new opportunities. We're also working significantly more with DNR, and we're connecting regularly with legislative partners to talk about all these great things while we emphasize the need for tourism and its importance to the state economy. And then finally, we believe it's absolutely paramount to be a leader for equity, diversity, accessibility, and inclusion in the state of Minnesota. So those are all the things I have. I'm more than happy to take any questions that anybody has.
Thank you very much for the wonderful presentation. Peter Kosnick, do you have a question
or a comment? I was just going to, Madam Chair, I presume, I don't know your exact title, I know your name.
Executive Director.
Executive Director, you probably be here for the conversation and
yes.
As we listen to the next bill?
I believe so, yes.
Yes.
Yep. Okay, maybe some comments might be more appropriate at that point, and get your input would be great.
All right. You will just stick around. Do you have a question, Rep. Price? Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I'm so sorry I have to run to present a bill, but I did have this question. I still feel like it would be really educational for us as a committee. I was looking for the answer in the materials, and I didn't see it, but I was curious about how you track the impact of the investments in advertising and PR and getting named as a great destination. Is it just airlines, or is it surveys, or tracking social media? Like, I was just really curious, like, how you know with specificity that when we advertise in Wyoming, Wyoming people, or Wyomingans, people from Wyoming come to Minnesota. And I'm so sorry, it's ridiculous to ask a question and then leave, but I have to run to present a bill. But I'm really, everyone will educate me about your answer. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative. It is a great question, and there are lots and lots of logistics involved in that. We actually work with an advertising agency of record, as well as a media buying agency, so they are tracking SEO, SEM. We're also tracking flights. We're tracking click-throughs, time on our websites, how many people are kind of taking action to buy a travel guide. So it kind of all bleeds into one another. I would be more than happy to follow up with a lot more detail than that, but very high level, we have a lot of surveys that we do, and traveler surveys and intent and all of the magic, I guess, that goes on in tracking all of the digital acquisition that we do, too.
Thank you. Rep. Chong, you have a question?
I'm just curious, how are you portraying our state to, what are you portraying, selling, how are you selling our states to folks in what's like, you know, some of the top things that gets people attention and gets them to come here?
Thank you, Representative, for the question. Minnesota is kind of this wonderful quilt of many, many things. And, you know, we do our best to talk about various parts of the state at the same time. Our current ag campaign is focused on some outdoor recreation. So whether that's way up north and you want to go dog sledding, or maybe you want to be cozy by a fire. We also are talking about arts and culture and the various sort of indoor activities in the winter. But spring and summer, we are focused on a lot of outdoor recreation. We know that's huge here, but also, you know, we're able to talk about various things. Like, we just did a special photo and video shoot of various accessible locations for people with disabilities, and we were able to find real Minnesotans to participate in those photo shoots and talk about their experiences and what they love about Minnesota. So we really do our best to kind of talk about every part of Minnesota and then all the different activities, and you only have 30 seconds in a commercial, so we kind of supplement a lot of that with online web content, a lot of listicles about kind of where to go and what to experience.
Joe Shong, do you have a follow-up?
Oh, just a quick one. Can you remind me again you mentioned that Minneapolis was one of the cities that was a top city for visitors. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. Yes, sorry. CNN Travel named it one of the top places to visit in 2023.
It's great to know that CNN recognizes that Minneapolis is a great city. Thank you.
Not St. Paul. I just want to put that on the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
I think it was all encompassing.
One day, maybe they will catch up with us. It's okay. Thank you, Director, for this wonderful conversation. Do you have we have one more question or comment. Go ahead, Lead Kosnick.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. And I kind of looking at some of the questions, they're more directed towards you and I don't know if you call it an agency, Explore Minnesota, than the bill. So I kind of changed my mind from what I said earlier. But could you, you mentioned a little bit, but one of the things that we're interested in is, you know, we don't want to be attracting, you know, it's good to have people travel to different parts of the states and it does generate economic activity. But how focused is your agency on attracting, you'd mentioned international traffic or customers and visitors and also in the region outside of that? Do you have a breakdown of that? I might have missed it, but can you kind of just talk about how we attract economic activity and visitors from outside of the immediate state?
Yes.
Director.
Oh, sorry. I'm so sorry. Yes, thank you. So we spend 70% of our marketing budget outside of the state of Minnesota. So about 30% is spent moving people around, and actually our grant programs that we do a one-to-one match with our marketing grant program, which allows smaller communities to actually market to Minnesota. So they kind of help do some of that work for us. And they have fantastic things to offer, and they're the experts in their fields. And then we kind of do the bigger sort of holistic marketing, those 30-second commercials, 15 seconds. And then the international, we do some international trade shows where we basically sit and meet with a lot of tour operators and businesses internationally, and we pitch them on how great Minnesota is. And international visitors are a key demographic for us because we know that they spend more time and they spend more money. So as we start to see some of those flights come back, it is pertinent for us to be in those conversations. And we actually, you'll find in the slides that we do work with a lot of regional groups to promote Minnesota, so Great Lakes USA, Mississippi River Country, and that allows us to pay for a membership with them where we're kind of promoting the region as a whole, and we can have some call outs about Minnesota, but it doesn't cost nearly as much as us, you know, sending a state employee over to Japan or something like that. We can kind of pay into a group to help share our materials for us and promote us.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that, and it's good to know. I wasn't aware that 70% sounds like there's good focus on that. And it's not to say that staycations are not of value for people in Minnesota, you know, for us to travel different parts of the state as a dad that likes to spend time with his kids. I think that's a valuable economic driver within the state. But just wanted to focus a little bit to get additional revenue into our state economy internationally and throughout the region. One of the other challenges that was alluded to a little bit, but how do we market, you know, the largest city in the metropolitan area has had challenges with its reputation. And you did mention, I think, in slide 15. Can you go into a little bit more about that and how Explore Minnesota took on that challenge and where you see it? What are the opportunities and how do we overcome and move past that, the perception of public safety issues within the Minneapolis, St. Paul area, as you do your marketing in that? Because I'm sure it's a, you know, when you talk about staycations, I know people are kind of skipping over the downtown cores if they have other options. And so I think that's a big challenge for the tourism. And no disrespect.
This is where we agree to disagree.
Well,
I heard that Minneapolis was named one of the best cities. So yeah. I don't want to take the highlight from my city. So we're gonna leave it there. But your question is valid. So
well, Madam Chair, I only bring it up because I think it is an important region and it's important to our economic vitality to overcome those perceptions. And so I bring it up not to slight our members from that area. And so I do respectfully, if it came off differently, I just bring it up because I think it's important to recognize that. And I think that there is some good movement here that Explore Minnesota is doing it. And so I'd like to hear how they're doing it.
Like I said, your question is valid, but it's rather perceptions than facts. So I would ask the director to respond. Go ahead.
Thanks.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative. You know, we have worked closely with Meet Minneapolis, who's actually represented here today, and I would encourage them to kind of share some more information later as well. But I think a lot of the perception is actually an internal issue in Minnesota. When we do sort of brand lift studies outside of the state, we are hearing more about how people are more excited about the Twin Cities area's rich cultural heritage and all of the different communities and food and dining and various places to stay. And we also hear from folks in greater Minnesota that they know that if the metro area is doing well, then they're going to do well too. So our goal, while representing the whole state as much as we possibly can, is also to highlight a lot of the benefits of that metro area, because we also know that that's where the airport is, right? That's where people are flying in. If they're going somewhere else, especially international travelers, will tend to kind of go west or east after they fly into MSP. We want them to spend a few days, so we have some itineraries around the metro area as well. And in all of our ads in the last couple years, we've at least featured one metro spot in those ads, so that we can make sure that we're giving some love to those regions and, again, kind of propping them up. And those are ongoing conversations with Meet Minneapolis. We've met with Minneapolis Downtown Council. We've had conversations with Bloomington, St. Paul. So really trying to make sure that we're hearing what they're saying, so that we can help kind of prop those messages up on our end as well.
And I would love to meet, invite Minneapolis individuals to just comment on that if they feel so.
Yes.
Okay, please come to the table, introduce yourself, and I want to make sure that your question is addressed.
Yeah, I appreciate the discussion, Madam Chair, and I would also share that I was in your district over the weekend for a nice brunch that I had. So
you should have called me. I would.
I thought about it.
Go ahead. Introduce yourself for the record and proceed, please.
Good morning, Chair Son, members of the committee. My name is Melvin Tennant. I'm the president and CEO of Meet Minneapolis, our convention and visitors association. So thank you for allowing me to come up and add some commentary to what the director here has already said. Let me just comment quickly on the CNN list that Minneapolis appeared on this year. It was right after the first of the year. It was a great win for us, because we did work very closely with Explore Minnesota Tourism and our team to really plant the seed with CNN. And I just wanted to highlight the fact that one of the reasons that they selected Minneapolis is because we promoted the very strong indigenous population that we have and the authenticity of the storytelling. And I want to just say that one of the reasons why they want to really highlight us is because we have really taken a very intentional approach to telling the authentic story of the rich cultural heritages of Minneapolis, and that has really distinguished us. And so that's why we have, I think, appeared on that particular list. I will say, though, that we have continued to be a city that has lagged behind in performance, so we definitely need the support. I agree with what has been said about the metro area being a very central part of the ecosystem. A visitor doesn't necessarily know which jurisdiction or municipality they come to, so we all work together to make sure that wherever the visitor goes, that those experiences are consistent and authentic wherever we can. So
thank you.
I hope that maybe helps. I'll be happy to answer any specific questions, Representative, if you'd like.
Kostnick, do you have more follow-up comments?
Well, I would just say I did talk to the Convention and Visitors Bureau in Lakeville, the city that I live in, and their comments probably would be echoed throughout the suburban areas, is that when Minneapolis does well, when they have a big event, fill up their hotel rooms, there is spillover into the areas. And so that's why I did ask the question, not to bring up a sensitive subject, but I think it's very important, and recognize the efforts that you're doing are challenging, but you're in the right direction, and hopefully things continue to improve.
Thank you. And there's nothing sensitive about Minneapolis. Minneapolis is it's a wonderful city. We have had our own challenges. And I'll tell you this, when I travel, I don't hear anybody talking about our challenge. I meet people who want to come and visit George Floyd Square. And we, you know, as you know, that's a tragedy in our books, but it's also, it allowed us to have a racial awakening of, like, we have a real problem in this city and in this state that needs to be addressed. And, you know, impact of what happened after George Floyd and the spillover of like public safety issues, whatever came with that, we needed that. We needed that moment for us to wake up and say that we have a real problem in our, you know, inequities, racial inequities in this state, in the city of Minneapolis, in the statewide. And I'm very proud. I'm very proud that we had that moment. I mean, I'm sad that we have lost a life, but I'm proud that it forces us to have uncomfortable conversations. All right, we're going to move on. Thank you, guys. We're going to hear, Representative Katisa Wutun, you have a comment?
Yeah, just a quick follow-up kind of on your statement there, Madam Chair. And I guess I'm curious, too, when we kind of look at other states, when we look at international places of origin for folks to come and travel in Minnesota. I studied abroad in Australia and happened to meet a girl whose dad and younger brother come here like every year for ice fishing. So, I mean, like that's one of the draws. I'm certain, you know, you talked about our outdoor opportunities for folks. But I am curious, you know, and particularly because you said you want to be a four-season destination. Now, I obviously live here. I grew up in the Midwest. I've been in Minnesota now for well over a decade, and I don't love winter travel in Minnesota. So I'm curious, you know, if we're looking at like the rankings of reasons why people travel and then why they not travel, and if we have kind of any information about like why somebody might choose Minnesota versus like is this perception of like winter in Minnesota, ooh, why would you do that? Or is safety kind of, I mean, like I'm just curious because the travel that I've done internationally, and I've lived in Europe and I've lived in Australia and I've, you know, been able to travel a lot of different places. I'm not afraid to go downtown Minneapolis. And I understand per the chair's statement, you know, that there is, we obviously received a lot of notoriety after the murder of George Floyd, but I also saw worldwide solidarity with what happened here. And I'm curious when we look at some of these huge travel centers that like people are like, oh, I want to go to London. I want to go to Paris. I want to, you know, you Google traveling in Paris and they're like, watch your pockets. Like this is a pickpocket headquarter of the world or what. I mean, so I don't think that that's something that people think about Minneapolis. And I'm just curious kind of how the breakdown looks like if we have a list about that and like why they, you know, why people would choose to come here versus why they would choose not to come here. Because I really don't think it's that much of a challenge, and I think we have so much more to offer folks than they would be, you know.
All right, who wants to take this? Go ahead, Director.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative. We actually recently just finished some really exciting new studies that we haven't done for about 10 years on different types of people who would want to come here. So very relevant question. We are finding that we have this sort of core group of cultural explorers that's really come out of understanding that Minneapolis, St. Paul, the state of Minnesota itself is, like I said before, kind of this wonderful cultural heritage center for a lot of different backgrounds and different activities that you can experience. We know that a lot of outdoor recreationists like to come here. I think that was really amplified by the pandemic and being able to find new places in Minnesota. Internationally, we have a lot of interest in the Boundary Waters. I will say that is until you tell them exactly how to get in and out of the Boundary Waters, and then that changes a little bit. But being able to see the Northern Lights in Minnesota, I think, is a huge surprise for a lot of people. I would also say that we have one of the largest theater scenes outside of New York, LA, and Chicago. So we have a huge theater and cultural arts center here. One of our most recent ads that we did this winter was something totally different than anything we've ever done, and we were able to highlight this really unique modern ballet in the ad, and it was 15 seconds, but it was beautiful. And so being able to kind of highlight these different things that you don't necessarily think about when you think about Minnesota, but we're changing that perception and getting research and feedback with different interviews. We just finished a whole slate of interviews last week with real people who we asked them questions about when you think about Minnesota, what do you think? And really our goal is when they say they don't want to travel here, now we're advertising things that we know we have that they want. And so that's kind of the way that we're shifting the work that we're doing.
Thank you. Do you have a follow-up?
No, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, any more questions? Well, thank you very much, both of you.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
All right, up next we have House File 232. Rep. Hansen, welcome to the committee. Chair moves that House File 232 will be laid over for possible for action later on. Rep. Hansen, please explain your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. House File 232 is similar to a bill that was introduced last year and had moved through the committee process. In the last session, the Explore Minnesota Tourism account was in my budget area, so I was carrying this particular bill. And it was a follow-up to a bill that was in the prior year where the high demand for Explore Minnesota tourism grants was clear. We provided some money, and I think at that time the application opened at midnight and was used up by 7 a.m. So there are a lot of folks all around the state who wanted these funds to help promote their area. Last year there was great support because coming out of COVID, jump-starting tourism is really critical. And particularly with convention and visitors bureaus, conferences, conventions, making sure that you get that attendance all around the state, but also you know, if I would be parochial for a moment, my district has a lot of people who work downtown St. Paul, work in the hotel and restaurant trade, and you need people to go to the hotels and the restaurants. And so we made some changes from the original bill from 2 years ago and increased the amount of money. And so there's $215K each year from the general fund to Explore Minnesota Tourism, to build administrative capacity to provide support for communications and et cetera. $10 million in fiscal year 2024 from the general fund for the Tourism Industry Recovery Grant Program. And this program must provide money to organizations, tribal governments, and communities to accelerate the recovery of the state's tourism industry. Grant money may be used to support meetings, conventions, and group businesses, multi-community and high visibility events, and tourism marketing. And then what we did is we changed the applicability so it was no longer first come or first serve, to make sure that there was a clear time of where people could get their applications in. And then if that was exceeded, then there would be the randomized selection. It's a one-time appropriation. In addition, the Grand Portage Band last year at the far corner of the state needs extra help in promoting tourism. It's a long ways away, great things happening there, but so there's a carve out of $250K from the general fund to the Grand Portage Band for tourism. And that also is a one-time appropriation. So that is the bill. I know there are a number of testifiers and a number of amendments, and if we could get the testifiers, that'd be great, Madam Chair.
All right, thank you, Mr. Rep. Hansen. We have a list of testifiers, and the first person on the list is Sarah. Is the P silent?
Nope, you say the P.
Okay.
Pasek.
Pasek. Okay. Yeah. All right. Minnesota Tourism Growth Coalition, please introduce yourself and proceed.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair and members. My name is Sarah Pasek, and I represent a group called the Minnesota Tourism Growth Coalition. We're a statewide group of public, private, nonprofit tourism organizations and businesses. We want to thank Representative Hansen and the bill co-authors for sponsoring House File 232, which will provide funding for a tourism industry recovery grant program. The tourism and hospitality industry, as you all know, was one of the hardest hit industries during the pandemic. And while there has been some recovery, the recovery has not been consistent, and it has not been even across the state or even across tourism sectors. And we know that full recovery will take several years. We know that the success of tourism and hospitality plays a strong role in the success of a community. Local, regional, and sales taxes provide support for community services. Increased tourism activity benefits restaurants, bars, gas stations, grocery stores, theaters, museums, event planners, stage crews, printing shops, outdoor recreation providers, bait shops, and many more businesses. Under consideration today, House File 232 will direct $10 million in one-time funding to a tourism recovery grant program. The grants will be used to support meetings, conventions, and group business, multi-community and high-visibility events, and tourism marketing. These are all aimed at restoring the tourism economy to pre-pandemic levels and building a vibrant tourism industry for the future. And these grants are used and tailored to meet the needs of each local community to highlight the unique businesses, attractions, and cultures in specific marketing campaigns or events. And Director Bennett McGinney shared information about past grant funding, and there's a sheet in your packet, which shows that these grants have really been spread out across the state. I was looking at it, and I think almost every district of committee members had a grant on that list, and if you didn't get one of the past grants, I'm sure your tourism organization will apply for one in the next round here. And this tourism bill today, the $10 million from Representative Hansen, is just one part of the tourism budget that you'll be considering this session. You heard from Director Bennett McGinty also, and she outlined the governor's budget recommendations. We want to also thank Governor Walz for including an increase to Explore Minnesota's base budget in his proposal and also including a grant funding category. And we think the governor's budget recommendation, together with Representative Hansen's bill, really complement each other. We look forward to working with you as you put together that budget, being a resource for anything along the way. And then I'll just turn it over to the testifiers from the tourism industry. And I know the Community of Minnesota Resorts is listed on the agenda, and I think Joel Carlson had a conflict, but they are supporting this legislation as well.
Thank you very much. Up Thank next, you. We have Melvin Tennant, Meet Minneapolis.
Morning, Gary Chair Hassan and members of the committee. Again, Melvin Tennant, President and CEO of Meet Minneapolis. And we are here, of course, to thank Representative Hansen for authoring the bill. And we certainly are very much in support, our organization, of House File 232 to provide the $10 million for the Tourism Industry Recovery Grant. And just to reiterate what's been said is that the industry recovery remains a priority for all of us. We are in Minneapolis, St. Paul, one of the hardest hit areas in the country. Just to kind of give you an overall view of what that looks like, prior to the pandemic, we had 36,000 individuals who lived in Minneapolis who made their living in travel and tourism. And during the course of the pandemic, we lost almost half of those employees. And even though we have made some recovery, I'm told as recently as today, we still have about a 25% shortfall of those individuals. And many of those individuals, as you know, are BIPOC individuals, immigrant communities, and that is a great way to start a way to support your families and achieve your dreams. So hospitality is a very important part of what we do. And this, of course, 2022 marked the third year that we've had these issues trying to return to normalcy. And just to let you know, at the end of last year, we ended up, at least in our city, at about a 47% occupancy, which was better than the year before, but still lags behind what the national occupancy was of 63%. So again, looking at some disparities in the way that this recovery has taken place. But it's not just about filling hotel rooms. They're all sorts of businesses, small businesses in particular, that help support our industry that we can be a part of, and that is businesses like caterers, audiovisual companies, florists, delivery drivers, anything that relates to supporting visitors and conventions that are coming in. Our organization, Meet Minneapolis, is definitely interested and supportive of an inclusive recovery of all businesses, because we know even before the pandemic, many BIPOC-owned businesses and BIPOC employees were already suffering from disparities. And so we want to make sure that those disparities no longer exist as we recover in an industry. So that's very important for us to continue. We also think it's important to have an extremely diverse workforce, because a diverse workforce allows us to more comfortably invite diverse visitors from across the country and from around the world. Lastly, I just wanted to talk about some possible uses of this funding, at least from the Meet Minneapolis perspective. It would allow us to compete more aggressively for securing business for our city. large regional conferences. We've talked about that previously, how when we bring a conference to the metro area, it does impact the rest of the state even. It would allow us to launch a major leisure campaign. And just to talk about our leisure travel marketing, prior to the pandemic, 75% of the leisure visitors to Minneapolis were from Greater Minnesota and the surrounding states. That's our core market. So we need to reintroduce ourselves to those visitors who look at Minneapolis-St. Paul region as a place where they can enjoy all sorts of great entertainment, whether it's theater, whether it's sporting events, if they're a foodie. All of those things are contained here. We want to continue to go out and attract those visitors. So again, I want to thank you for consideration of this bill. This will allow our communities to get back faster to pre-pandemic levels and even exceed that. I don't want to use the pandemic as the benchmark. I want us to exceed those. So thank you, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you. We're going to hold questions until the end. Up next, we have Tim Zunker, Shakopee Chamber of Commerce and Tourism. And if I butchered your last name, you can correct that. Please introduce yourself and proceed.
Good morning, Madam Chair and committee members. Thank you for the opportunity to testify to you in front of you today. I would like to first take this opportunity to thank Representative Hansen and the bill co-authors for supporting the tourism industry in Minnesota. In Scott County, where the Shakopee Chamber and Visitors Bureau is the only dedicated destination management organization in the county, the tourism industry is essential to our local economy. Our destination holds some of the Midwest's largest attractions, including Valley Fair Amusement Park, Canterbury Park, the Minnesota Renaissance Festival, and Mystic Lake Casino. However, tourism spending goes beyond attractions and hotels in our destination. It has an immense impact on our local economy. Over 35% of traveler spending is done at food establishments in Scott County. Over 16% of traveler spending is done at gas and service stations. And over 15% of visitor spending in Scott County is done at retail, which is three of the top four categories in our spending categories that we track in Scott County spending. And while these are strong numbers coming out of the pandemic, they're still well below 2019. Small businesses, particularly restaurants, are still struggling and in need of more visitors to their establishment. House File 232 will help local destination management organizations throughout Minnesota focus on growth while still focusing on recovery. For the Shakopee Chamber and Visitors Bureau, these dollars will allow us to expand the markets we promote our destination to, while putting a heavier focus on lighter travel seasons in Scott County, particularly early winter, while promoting, in conjunction with our large attractions, the outdoors, small businesses, and our community events and festivals. Because of the increase in funding, our organization would also be able to leverage and other resources to expand our efforts in partnering with local government entities to leverage tourism into economic development opportunities. We plan on working with our partners to promote local opportunities for workforce and economic development. We see tourism as a first step in economic development and believe someone does not move to or open a business in a location without first visiting. With House File 232, our organization will also look at opportunities to create new events in our region, which will create additional economic impact from visitor spending. When Explore Minnesota Tourism implemented an events grant program in 2017, we were able to utilize these grant dollars to create a free 5-week concert series in downtown Shakopee. Our concert series, called Rhythm on the Rails, has become an annual event with almost 30,000 people attending in 2022. And with over 50% of those attendees coming from outside of Shakopee, and with some attendees coming as far as California, Nevada, Arizona, Texas, and Florida. These individuals who would not normally come to our downtown on a weeknight during the summer, and this is a substantial economic impact for our local restaurants and retailers. Our estimated economic impact model for this concert series was over $600,000 for our local economy. I want to thank you for the opportunity to testify and ask for your support in House File 232 and the tourism economy and its recovery in Minnesota. Thank you. I'd be open to any questions.
Thank you very much. We'll hold questions till the end. Up next, we have Julie from Minnesota Convention and Visitor Association. Oh, no. Oh, he has a long title. Okay. All right. Never mind. Julie from Visit Roseville.
Thank you. Good morning, Welcome, Chair.
Welcome, please. Introduce yourself and proceed.
Good morning, Chair, committee members. My name is Julie Wern. I am CEO of Visit Roseville. I want to thank Representative Hansen for authoring this bill last session and again this year. The tourism industry recovery grants will provide much-needed assistance across the state as we continue to emerge from the pandemic. Thank you for the opportunity to share a few examples of how Explore Minnesota recovery grants have made a real difference at Visit Roseville. During COVID, Roseville went from an average occupancy of 67.5% with a $102 average rate in 2019 to 37.8% occupancy and a $79 average rate in 2020. The crisis marketing grant of $14,000 that we received in July of 2020 from Explore Minnesota was a real lifesaver for our organization. It paid for the build out of our 360-degree website to market Roseville in Bloom. This was our outdoor public art event of 20 almost 7-foot-tall statues placed around our city in July of that year. We had high hopes for attracting thousands of out-of-town visitors, but COVID put a damper on that. On the flip side, we were one of the few new outdoor events that you could safely drive by in your car, walk, or bike to and avoid crowds. While we did have overnight stays that we can track to Roseville and Bloom, we really scored on our website. We had professional photos taken of each rose and had almost 25,000 page views with 16,666 unique visitors. Our Facebook engagement was up 223%, Instagram 288%. We had a lot of posts from people visiting the roses, tagging Roseville and Bloom, and our diverse social media influencers reached 143,000 people. Plus, we won the Explore Minnesota Marketing Tourism Campaign of the Year, which was nice. And the roses are still on display, and the 3D website is on our homepage if anyone would like to visit this year. In 2021, we saw an increase in visitors with occupancy climbing to 49.3%. And here again, Explore Minnesota saw the need to help local DMOs with out-state marketing. We received a Phase 2 crisis grant marketing for $17,500. Again, an infusion of money that helped us increase visitor overnight traffic by paid search, designated landing pages, display banners, and retargeting to audiences in Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, and Wisconsin. During the Minnesota State Fair, which is ordinarily a near sellout for the city of Roseville and our hotels, our paid search and retargeting led to over 725,000 impressions and 855 booking considerations. We ended 2022 with an average occupancy of 56.5% and a $108 average rate, which is good, but it's not a full recovery. In 2022, we went after and were awarded a $20,000 recovery grant, which we used to produce a professional video highlighting hospitality in the city of Roseville to increase brand awareness. We also focused on local minority and women-owned businesses such as La Tapatia, Misant, Grateful Table, and Khan's Mongolian. This was money we did not have in the budget. This video is used on all of our local social media channels in efforts to increase overnight visits and drive revenue within the city. In 2023, we were awarded a $20,000 grant from Explore Minnesota that is going to help build our new website. Our current site is 7 years old, which is ancient in the world of technology. The new site will feature and exceed accessibility standards and incorporate tools for people with disabilities, which we do not currently have. Content pages, listing events, blogs, landing pages, and microsites can be visually featured in multiple ways on other areas of the website, helping travelers discover unique content to help them plan their journey and foster growth for our city. Our current website has a diverse business section which lists our minority-owned and women-owned businesses. The header is Celebrating Diversity in Roseville, as we are committed to promoting local minority-owned businesses. We value unique perspectives. They're what gives Roseville its unique flavor, even beyond the delicious dining. Diversity makes our community stronger by celebrating our cultural differences. We come together like never before. We highlight a local business each month on our website and post on our social media channels. And this is going to be something that our new website is going to help improve greatly our exposure to our diverse community. Forecasts from Business Travel Tracker, which is a product of U.S. Travel Association, J.D. Powers, and Tourism Economics, find that while American companies are easing up on pandemic-era restrictions on business travel, labor shortages, especially in the hard-hit hospitality tourism industry, remain. A mild recession is projected for 2023, and inflation is projected to stay uncomfortably high. As you can tell, if anybody's bought a carton of eggs lately, incredible. Which translates into modest gains in 2023 as demand softens with economic forecasts. In conclusion, tourism grants not only help all of us market and grow Minnesota's tourism economy, they also maximize partner and stakeholders' collaborations. I mean, it truly is a win-win for all of us in Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're
up
welcome.
Next, we have Reed. I'm not even going to try your last name. I'm going to let you introduce yourself for the record, and please proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Reed LeBeau, and I'm the representative for the Grand Portage Band of Ojibwe. We just wanted to thank Representative Hansen for including the language and the appropriation for the Grand Portage Band. The pandemic has been absolutely disastrous for Grand Portage. We are right on the Canadian border at the very tip of the arrowhead of Minnesota, and 80 to 90% of our market comes from Thunder Bay. So not only was the pandemic a problem in and of itself, but the Canadian border was shut down. And so all of that travel that we would normally get that funds everything that we do was completely shut down. And they were shut down longer than the restrictions that we had in Minnesota. That continued for quite some time. And the ease of access over the border really hasn't completely come back to the way that it was before. So this is very critical to have some injection of funds for promoting tourism specifically for the Grand Portage Band. We thank Chair Hansen for including this. So thank you. I'm happy to answer any questions if anybody has them.
Thank you. We'll hold questions. And last but not least, we have Jill Sims from Hospitality Minnesota.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, members. My name is Jill Sims, and I am the Director of Government Relations for Hospitality Minnesota. We represent Minnesota's restaurant and food service, hotel and lodging, and resort and campground sectors. Thank you for the opportunity to speak in support of House File 232. Hospitality Minnesota has long supported investment in Explore Minnesota tourism. That is why today we are asking you to support an opportunity to help the Minnesota tourism industry not only recover from the impact of the pandemic, but to once again thrive. House File 232 provides a much-needed investment of $10 million in tourism industry recovery grants. These grants will help accelerate the recovery of the local tourism economy, supporting communities, bringing back jobs, and helping small businesses flourish. In the current environment, recovery has been uneven, with some operators doing well, while other operators are struggling to emerge from the effects of the pandemic. Hospitality and tourism businesses continue to be faced with many new and long-term challenges to recovery. From a tight labor market, which remains down 17,000 workers, to inflation and supply chain challenges. Many operators are not expecting to see a full recovery until this year or later. The Tourism Industry Recovery Grant Program will provide meaningful support to aid communities by attracting meetings, conventions, and larger event groups to metro areas and greater Minnesota alike. This helps every Minnesota community, as each and every one has businesses tied to hospitality and tourism. We will continue to support increased investments for Explore Minnesota Tourism by the state and in the upcoming budget process. In the meantime, we thank Representative Hansen for bringing forward House File 232 and encourage members to support the appropriation for $10 million to the Tourism Industry Recovery Grants because they are vital to Minnesota's economy. Thank you.
Thank you very much. If there are no burning questions, we'll take the amendments. We have four amendments, and it's my understanding that we're just going to have a conversation about the amendments and not have a vote on it. Is that correct, Lead Kosnick?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I was under the impression that we were going to have this bill heard for informational, but is it being laid over for possible inclusion or laid
it's
over?
Being laid over to bring back, back it up another time to take action on it. So.
Okay, I appreciate that. I think generally just have it for informational purposes and then bring it back would be fine. We'll trust the chair that if it does come back, we'll have an opportunity to discuss any author changes in that, and I talked to the author last night, so I'm comfortable with that motion, and we'll just leave it at that, but we would like an opportunity if there's changes to the program. Generally, I think my members, we support it. They can speak for themselves. We just have some questions on the dynamics and some of the details.
All right, so should we take up the amendments and just give and members a chance to talk about mm-hmm. their amendments? All right.
Great.
Okay. The A1 amendment, Rep. Wiener.
I think I will handle that one.
Okay. All right.
Madam Chair.
Lead Kosnick, go ahead.
Please.
Yeah, and I think Mr. LeBeau addressed it a little bit. The only question that we kind of had, and so I appreciate his testimony, was, you know, that we have a number of different tribes in the state and why one was particularly earmarked. And I think his testimony addressed that, and we can talk about it more perhaps, but that was kind of our concern, and we understood a little bit, but he clarified that.
So should we invite Mr. LeBeau back to the testifying table? Mr. LeBeau, please come down.
I don't know that I have any particular questions, Madam Chair, but that was just our concern, and we can kind of, as we rework the bill, I think his comments were sufficient, but if he wants to make more comments, that's fine with me. But
no
I,
more comments.
I,
okay.
I'm
all right. Okay. All right. We're moving on. The A2 amendment, Rep. Perryman.
Yes. Thank you, Chair. My comments are more about page 1, line 14, to delete 5 and insert 15 days. And basically what that is the time period that they have to put in applications once the door is open at 8 a.m., and the reason I say this is important to this bill is I think we even alluded that some of these CVBs, I come from St. Cloud, so we work together with the chamber and we have the staffing, but some of these organizations don't have lots of staff and they're way out into the, like we talked about, Thunder Bay. And so I just ask that we perhaps look at 5 days to 15 days to give every size convention bureau or the individuals that want to put in a grant request a little bit longer, and that would be 10 more days more so that they can get the information in, and no matter if they're one or two people, they'll have that time and they can respectfully think through their grant too. If it's a two staff person, they've got to put that all together by themselves. So really it's a thoughtful process too that we want to have as they put in these grant requests, and treat everyone equally from long distances way up north to right here in the metro area.
All right, thank you. I think Director Lauren has a comment to that.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative. So I believe, and Representative Hansen can correct me if I'm wrong, so the 5 days is really just to represent the minimum amount of days it's allowed to be open. With a grant of the size of $10 million, it is highly unlikely that it would be used within 5 days or 15 days, frankly. It's quite large. So, you know, if you talk about Greater Minnesota, our recent grant cycle, we actually had multiple communities in Greater Minnesota who took under $1,000 for their grants, right? So you can see how long it might take to spend $10 million. But I just wanted to clarify that typically our grants and stay open for a significant amount of time. In fact, our most recent grant program was just launched in December, and I believe we just finished or exhausted those funds, and that was only $500,000. So it does take quite a while to get through that and to get through all the applications. So I would imagine 15 days should be more than sufficient, but I would also say that 5 days is probably not going to exhaust the funds as well.
Is there a follow-up?
No, at this point, I'm one of those anal people with the seeing the numbers in there, and just wondering if changing it from 5 to 15 doesn't make a big difference but gives comfortability to maybe some other small groups that are reading the specifics of the bill.
sounds like there's no opposition to that, so we'll just leave it at that. Lead Kasnick, do you have a comment?
I would, Madam Chair, and I support having more time to before the dollars roll out. I did talk to one of the Convention and Visitors Bureaus in my district, and I want to compliment you. Very good communication is what I've heard to the convention bureaus across the state, but I think it's important to have a little bit of time for them to prepare. She'd mentioned the particular person that I talked to. You know, they're small office, working up until midnight, rushing to get this all together. If you have a wider window, it provides a little bit more opportunity to have a quality grant request done. And then also my question pertinent to this is there a size limit to the grant? Because I recognize $10 million is a lot of money this day and age. I don't know if, you know, if you have some bigger convention and visitors bureaus gobbling up, you know, how's their equality in that process?
Is your question to the executive director or to the author?
Madam Chair, I should talk through the chair, so I apologize. To either the author or his testifier, Executive Director okay. McGinty.
Who wants to take this?
Well, just Madam Chair, I'll respond to Representative Kosnick just to get it on the record. You know, when I look at this bill, I look at a few general things, and then I think this helps shape the conversation, is that, you know, the bill is in response to what happened the first distribution, which was a very rapid, quick turnout. So only those who were absolutely ready could get it, and that excluded people because most people were not up at midnight getting ready to put in an application. So we put that at least five to get in there. I want to make sure that we have people who can apply to this, and even in a paper copy. If you remember last year on the drought language debate, we wanted to make sure that there was a paper copy option. So I am not opposed to giving time, but I also want to make sure that I would like this bill to move not in an omnibus passed on May 20th, because we lose the spring. If there's some way where this committee can work together and come up with a bipartisan bill that could come out and move it forward, I think that would be great. And if we could get the money out so we can start promoting, you know, I would like, you know, that there's money that could go to the World Championship Booyah Cook-Off that happens in South St. Paul every year. I mean, that's a type of community festival that we could have. But, and I've been working with Representative Kozlowski on having, like, essentially three different pots of money that would come in an amendment, and I appreciate the chair holding the bill over, because I think we can come together on this to have a small grant portion, because the ones that are $1,000 or $2,000 really can help with communities. And then we have the cities and the convention bureaus that are there too. And if we can make sure we're geographically balanced, looking at distributing by congressional district a pot of money, and then have that kind of larger pot of money that's available. So we want to reach everyone, and particularly those that have been underrepresented or historically excluded. And that includes community groups. I think it's really important to keep the Grand Portage Band in there just because of the unique situation that's there. So I'm open to making sure we've got the flexibility to make sure people are involved. If we can come together, everybody here, and get a bill out, however long that takes, so we could bring it to the floor and get the money out so it can help jumpstart the tourism industry, I'm open to working, and Madam Chair, I'm happy to work on those things.
Well, thank you, Rep. Hansen. Do you still have a follow-up? Or?
No, I think okay. Those comments are great, Madam Chair. Representative Hansen, be happy to partner with you. I think there's a lot of agreement. We just work out the details, and I especially appreciate the comment about trying to do this as a standalone bill and get it through as quick as possible. It's something that we think is important to move at the speed of business, and we're here ready to work and help you out to do that.
Thank you, Lead Kosnick. Up next, we have A3. Who offers the A3?
I'll be offering the A3,
okay.
Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So the A3 amendment, and we kind of started talking about it there in the last bit, would just insert a line after line 9 on page 1 that 50% of the $10 million be in projects located outside the 7-county metro. Sounds like based on the comments we were just having, that's agreement that the author kind of has. We want to make sure it's getting out there. You know, looking at the recovery grant program dollars, I was trying to do my quick math that my elementary school teachers taught me. It looks like it was pretty even as it is, but, you know, I'm going to be a little biased when I look at northeastern Minnesota and only see, you know, four people that received recovery grants. I mean, the city of Duluth isn't even included in that. That's just a huge catastrophe. You know, visit Cook County, visit Lake County. These are places that kind of lost out. So I just want to make sure that's a pointless amendment, that we get these dollars out to greater Minnesota so they can keep attracting people to northern Minnesota. I mean, we don't even have Visit Ely on here, which is a huge mistake too, I think. So just wanted to make that comment if there's any comments from the author.
Rep. Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think the congressional district, that makes sure we get distribution everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then you still have these other pots of money, and particularly the small grant money. So I'm a little reluctant to put percentages in because then you're kind of retroactively going back. But if you can do the and this is the challenge with first come, first serve grant applications, is it's the first come, first serve. So I think having the time period, providing a pot that is congressional district based, still having the other portions, we can provide geographic balance, but also make sure we're reaching underserved or historically excluded communities.
Rep. Hansen, if I remember correctly, reading the last year's bill, funding, 60% of it went to greater Minnesota, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so.
So it's actually more than you're asking, Rep. Igo, that 60% of the funding went to greater Minnesota. Do you have a follow-up, or do we?
Yeah, you know, Madam Chair, my only follow-up would be, again, that we can just keep having those good conversations. Like I said, we're ready to work with you and support a bill like this. We just want to make sure and see, because I know you said 60% went to greater Minnesota, but if you look at the funds, I mean, like I said, there's seven that went to northeast and northwestern Minnesota. And they're some of the smallest grants out there. So I just want to make sure that we fix that kind of disparity and take care of northern Minnesota just as much.
All right. Thank you. Last amendment is A4. And Lead Kosnick, I believe you are offering this one.
I don't have my notes, but yes, I will. but this amendment, verbatim, gives a priority in the grants given to projects to bring in new business outside of the state, and that's why my question about international or regional travel. As I kind of look forward in the economy, though, I don't mean to put down staycations. I think they're a very important driver internally within the state. But I just want to bring up the issue that, you know, these dollars, we do want to attract new people to different regions of the state. We have a beautiful state, a lot of wonderful regions, including Minneapolis. It really is a crown jewel, and we want to make sure that we get back there. But as members of the committee and members of the legislature, we're like the CEOs of the state for economic development, and the intention of the amendment is to make sure that we are promoting our state across internationally to make it attractive in a variety of areas, and so I hope that we might give some consideration on how we can do that as we progress forward on this bill, if that's possible.
Do you have a response, Rep. Hansen? Or
I think we can work on that, because I think we can attract people. You know, I know we could attract new people to the Booyah Cook-Off, so I'd be happy to work with you on that.
All right. Thank you. It sounds like this is a bill that everyone is in agreement, and we can work together to make sure that this is a bill that all of us will be voting for on the House floor and out of this committee. So I will leave it at this point just to say that all of us are going to work with the author offline to make sure that when this bill comes back to us, that members will be happy to vote for it. Thank you. Vice Chair Hansen has a comment.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Representative Hansen, for bringing this forward. I also wanted to say thank you to Tim for talking about the Shakopee, just the fun that we have down in the South Metro River Valley. I agree that there are so many opportunities between Valley Fair and Renfest. If you're into, like, Halloween, very scary trails of terror, come down to the south of the river valley, because there are a bunch of them. And these are opportunities for folks in my community to both have jobs, to bring their families to. And so often I hear from my own family and people in my neighborhood that These are core memories that are being formed for these kids and these families. And so I just wanted to say thank you for continuing to promote what's happening there. We do need to continue to invest in the opportunities for people to use public transportation down into our community. And so I think that's an ongoing conversation. But these small businesses, and especially our restaurants, are really the lifeblood of what we see in that South River Valley there. And so, again, I just wanted to say thank you for highlighting that, and come visit us in the South River Valley and see some of our great things. Thanks.
Thank you. Representative Igo, you have a comment?
Just one more kind of quick, and I just thought of this as we were wrapping up. What will the notice be for the grants when they go out? Because then I just want to make sure that we can, you know, especially as representatives, we can let our people know. So.
Director Lauren.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The notice is ample, I guess. It probably depends on just how much time we have. We usually try to give at least a month. I'm looking at our industry relations person back there. So definitely enough time. And Madam Chair, if I may comment on another part of this grant?
Sure.
Okay, sorry. I just wanted to talk about quickly the Grand Portage piece. Our budget rollout, which the governor did release the full budget yesterday and commented on our pieces for Explore Minnesota last week, did include significant grant funding very much in line with this bill, but I also wanted to point out that it included a $2.2 million grant program for Tribal Nation Destination Development, which is incredibly important, and actually it was developed out of the success of the most recent Grand Portage grant that was provided to them and how well they used the grant, and we wanted to make sure that we made funding available for all 11 tribal nations. So I would ask Representative Hansen and everybody in this committee to consider that as well. But in addition to all of these great conversations we've had, of course, Explore Minnesota's budget recommendations from the governor's office include a lot of these things, so I look forward to working on ways that we can make sure that they all can happen together.
Thank you. The author has a comment. Go ahead, Rep. Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just I think the amendment, one of the amendments that will be coming is to make sure we're promoting the program, to give additional money on promotion, and then having a report on what we've learned. So we have at the front end seeing how we're going to get this out better and give you the tools to do that, and then how that worked. So 2 years from now, you know, we can come back again and hopefully build on that success. And if, you know, willing to put more than $10 million in, that's, you know, if the committee wants to do that, I'm happy.
$10 million is not enough. Ask for more. Is that where you're going with this? Okay. All right. Thank you. I have a burning question for Director Lauren. Who does the commercials that say come visit? I have not seen Minnesota, but I've seen other states. Come visit South Dakota or Wyoming. Is it Explore Minnesota or no? Or have we never done those? Commercial that just like highlights this state and just says come visit this state. Does Minnesota have one or no?
Yes, Madam Chair, we do have them, and we, like I said, primarily do them outside the state, but I'm more than happy to share some links with the committee so that you can all see the work that we're doing. And I also suggest that if you see commercials to visit other states, you turn off your TV.
All right. Thank you. Rep. Hansen, any last comments?
Thank you. I look forward to working with you.
All right. The chair renews that her motion that this House File 232 will be laid over for action for another time, and for since there's no any more business, this committee is adjourned. Thank you.